Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening and open up to Deuteronomy chapter number 6 in the Word of God tonight. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6 in the Word of God this evening, for those of you who are visiting with us, we once again want to welcome you to the services here at Cross Point Baptist. Looking forward to being in the Word of God tonight. We've been in a series on Sunday nights now for some time over the summer months entitled Family Matters. Family Matters. And over the last 5 Sundays or so, I know I've been out of the pulpit for several weeks now, but we've been looking at the family portrait. Remember, the family portrait. We're looking at that picture that everybody sees hanging on the wall, and we look at that picture, and it's a beautiful picture, but there's a lot that went into the picture. There's a lot that went into preparation to get kids ready, to get all the smiles just right, the weather just right, the husband's attitude just right, to get everything looking so beautiful. So when people come in and walk into the house and they look at that picture, wow, what a beautiful picture that is. We've been looking at the family portrait now, and we've been kind of digging in behind the portrait. We've been looking at, remember, getting behind the scenes look at the family, the core, the foundation, the things of this life that are attacking the family. And this evening I want to look at not only the Family Matters series, this family portrait, but this evening, and most likely over the next several weeks, as you give me some time, I want us to look at the subject of today's challenges. Today's challenges. And I want us to look here at Deuteronomy and chapter number 6. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Now, I'm going to read several verses tonight, and we're not going to go through every one of these, but over the next several weeks, in an expository manner, we're going to be looking at several of these passages, and once again, looking at the family portrait and these today's challenges that we face. Most likely going to get through just one point this evening, but that's okay. I know that God's Word is action-packed, and it's not going to return void, and I trust that you've been in prayer that He would meet with us this evening. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, would you please follow along as I read in verse number 1, the Bible says this. Now these commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thou that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and thou that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that thy floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Today's challenges, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, there is so much in these passages of Scripture. Lord, I just ask, Savior, that you'd give us what we need this evening. I ask, Father God, that you'd move and you'd work and you'd guide and you'd direct. Father, we need your strength in these days. There is no doubt we live in a very wicked world, but God, we serve a thrice holy God. And Father, I ask, Lord, that as families, as we work as a unit, and in the families that we see today, God, some may be broken up. Father, we may have a single father here tonight raising kids, or a single mom. We may have grandparents here this evening that have a bigger impact on their grandkids than they realize. But Father, no matter what the family unit is, I ask, Savior, that we'd come together realizing that, Father, it is truly only your word that's going to help us and guide us and direct us. It's never been wrong. God, your word has never been wrong. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that we would use it as a guide. Let it direct us. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. While children may be able to pull common sense from common experiences, and they learn from them, there are things in our kids' lives that they're going to mess up and they're going to make mistakes. And from those mistakes, they learn and they grow and they are guided. A kid that sticks a fork into an outlet in the side of the wall learns very quickly that that hurts and they're not going to do it again. A child that gets too close to the road and in that instant go through a very close call learns, okay, there is a reason why my parents have said don't play in the road. There's many things that we understand even as adults that we learn from and we grow from. But children do not learn spiritual truths without a teacher. We understand over the last several weeks we've looked at the attacks on the home, and we live in an increasingly God-rejecting culture, and across every sector of our society, including education and entertainment and all forms of media, there are people who are eager to influence the hearts and the minds of our kids today. Their ungodly philosophies and their belief systems are sneaking even into the Christian homes of today. So how can you and I, as we begin to impact that next generation, how can you and I, no matter what life stage you and I may be in, how do we have an impact on this next generation? You see, as we begin to think about it, as you and I begin to look at what life stage we're in, there are many of us in this room that are in very, very different life stages. Some are raising teenagers. There are some who have not had kids yet. There are some of you in this room that have grandkids and or even great-grandkids. As we look at the very many different life stages, how do we as a congregation have an impact on the generations that are coming up behind us? How is it that you and I could come in and from someone who has a great-grandchild all the way down to someone who is just raising kids or somebody over the next several months who is going to be married and really start their life as a family, how can you and I come together and have an impact on this generation that is coming up behind us? Well, to be honest, it's not very complicated, but it does, now listen very carefully, it does require personal investment. You see, you and I must teach them truth. Now watch very carefully. In an introduction to today's challenges, I want us to just for a moment kind of get down to the nitty-gritty. Now, in this entire messages, I know it's been several weeks, so you have to excuse me, but during these messages, I've said it over and over again that I don't want this to be just a family life series that, okay, we came through, we got it, good. Husbands lead your wives, wives submit to your husbands, kids do what you're told, and they all lived happily ever after. Now, is that the dream scenario? Yes, without a doubt. That's what we live for. That's what the Word of God says, and we've been looking at that over several weeks ago. We looked at the responsibilities of the husbands and the wives for several weeks, but comprehend this, it's deeper than that. We live in 2021. We live in a very different society than we have ever lived in before. That means this, for the grandparents that are in this room, you raise kids and you have grandkids now. For you, it's at times maybe even hard to comprehend what a young parent bringing up kids nowadays is going through. You see, the generation of kids that are coming up today, these kids, there's never been a generation ever like them ever before. Now, for a long time, watch very carefully, through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and even through a lot of the 80s, a lot of the principles and the way that we were raising our kids were very much the same. But we have to comprehend that the kids that are coming up in today's age, there's never been a generation like them. There's never been a generation that has grown up with a phone in their pocket, with Siri and with Google and with Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. We, even myself as a millennial, Carrie and I have talked about this often, and we might even age ourselves a little bit, but Carrie, you remember even in college, we were not always, we didn't have text message going into or entering into college, and I remember this is a true story. I remember my first year of Bible college. Think about this. I was the first person on campus to have a flip phone that you could take an actual picture with. Can you imagine that? You could take, I think, 8 pictures and you had to start erasing them because the phone was full of memory already. But I listen, understand that even in my generation, our generation, we grew up and we didn't have what the kids nowadays are growing up with. So therefore, we are dealing with, let me catch my breath here for just a second. We're a kid. We are dealing with a generation where we are entering into some unknown territory. I tell our youth pastor often, listen, if you're picking up a book that is dealing with how to raise youth or how to run a youth department that was written 10 years ago, it almost is obsolete. That is how fast technology is changing. That is how fast this younger generation is changing. We are raising up now a generation that they understand things that we as really young married adults did not comprehend and or even understand. So therefore, we are challenged today in bringing up this next generation. And to be honest with you, if I really went as deep as I wanted to get this evening, which we don't have time to do, we really would almost walk out of the doors being a little bit depressed. That doesn't sound great tonight. Welcome back, Pastor Shepherd. Thank you so much. What a great, we got visitors here tonight. Isn't it amazing? I do not have the lung capacity this evening to get as deep, but I will say this. Now listen and watch. Many parents assume that it is the church's job to teach their children biblical truth. Now watch. Whoa, Pastor Shepherd, isn't it the church's job? What is Sunday school for? And what is junior church for? What is now? Whoa, just a minute before you think I'm preaching heresy here. Listen very carefully. While being involved in the local church is a necessity for a Christ-honoring family, God did not entrust the church with the spiritual guidance for the kids that are growing up in our houses. He entrusted the parents. He entrusted those who are raising them. If you believe that tonight, say amen. Now listen, are we linked up with the local church? Absolutely. Do we have a big responsibility in the local church to help, to guide and to direct? Yes, without a doubt. But let me put it this way. It is not the church's responsibility to raise kids in this church. Are we there to help the parents? Without a doubt. Are we there here to assist the parents? Yes. Are we here to come in and to learn from the Word of God? Yes, without a doubt. But Paul wrote these words and instructed parents, not pastors. He said, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Deuteronomy, we find the heart of Israel instruction to the next generation about their God. Listen very carefully. Began not at school. It didn't even begin in the temple, but it began in the home. In fact, at verse number 7, it says this. Look at it with me. Watch what the Word of God says. It says, but teach them diligently unto thy children. And I should walk in them, and thou sittest in, look at what it says here, thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, our goal, listen very carefully, is to teach children truth. It's to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. And not just for an outwardly or temporary compliance, but a heart level change. That means as we talk about over the next several weeks, our kids, our goal, let's say this, our end game is this. Everything that we put into our kids ought to have an end game. If you believe that, say amen. The end game. It's the end. What's the end? for an Olympian right now. And many of you, many of us have been watching, and as we've been watching the Olympics, and these Olympians are really incredible. They go out there, and what they do, they make it look so easy, do they not? I mean, sometimes I even want to get out there and just, not right now, but obviously in a couple weeks, when I'm back, baby, I want to get out there, and I really want to try some of these things that they're doing, because they make it look so easy. But yet, it is a lifetime of discipline. A lifetime has gone into training and to getting to be where they're at. And the end game is what? The end game is to stand up there on that platform and to have that gold medal put around, or silver or bronze, and to be proud of their country. That's the end game. The same is true when we think about the generation that is coming up behind us. Now look, I understand. I really believe, Brother Jim, that God is going to come back, and he's going to come back soon. If you believe that, say amen. That's great. For a young kid, I know, you don't want to talk about the Lord coming back. You got your life in front of you, and you're ready to play basketball, and you're ready to get married. And I told you this story before. I really prayed that God would not come back the night before I was getting married. I wanted to be married so bad, and I knew I was going to say, I do, you may kiss the bride, and God was going to come back. No! And he didn't come back, so isn't that a great thing? He answered my prayer, but nonetheless, God is going to come back. So, but watch very carefully. So we're looking for that blessed hope, but that does not mean necessarily that you and I just, well, okay, he's coming back, so that's it. The generations behind us, good luck. All right, good luck. You know, we did our part, did we not? We grew a church, we had bus routes, we had a choir, we had an orchestra, well, we're good. No, understand, comprehend that it's not just leaving them. There has to be something inside of you and I that truly desires to see a generation coming up behind us that loves God, that wants to serve the Lord, that has a heart to please him. If you agree with this, say amen tonight. Help me out tonight. We ought to want that. We ought to desire to have that. I've said it, and maybe I shouldn't tonight just for lung's sake, but friend, I really, this is just personal, but I really believe there are some great young Christians that are coming up behind us. I believe that. Some of these young kids that are at Cross Point Baptist Church, I just look at them, and I just see it. It's in them. They're going to be some great hymn writers. They're going to be some great preachers. We got some missionaries in this church that I'm telling you, they're going to turn continents upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. But how are we going to get them there? Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take some training. It's going to take some heart-to-heart. It is going to take you and I putting into them not to be a robot, but to be someone who is genuinely in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Genuinely in love. You know, I've seen, preacher, you've seen this too. You've pastored for 40-plus years. I've seen oftentimes we will look at a little kid and, you know, we almost judge that kid that they're just not going to do anything for God. You ever been there? Now, you don't have to say amen. You don't have to nod your head. But I think if we were really honest, we've all seen a brat running around church, and they're always in trouble, and they're always breaking windows, and they're always in trouble, and they're always in the principal's office. We all know somebody like that. And we look at that, and we judge them like, you know, they're not going to do anything for the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, with a little prayer and a little guidance, you watch that little kid turn into the next Charles Spurgeon. You see, I think we, at times we look at this outward appearance. And friend, even as a millennial, I've seen many of my friends were brought up in good homes. And man, they towed the line. And boy, I'm telling you, they walked that line. They were in church every Sunday. They sat right up front. They were at every camp. Boy, they were there. How many of us have friends today that friend is no longer in church, no longer wants anything to do with God, raising a family that just lives for today and not eternity. And I often ask myself, Brother Josh, well, how are we going to raise kids that aren't like that? I think about it, Brother Justin, Brother Mark. I think about it, Brother Carlson. How are we going to raise kids that just don't, they're just not the robotic, they're just not the, well, Pastor, does that mean you're preaching tonight is the good kids in church aren't going to matter? That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is this. We have a massive responsibility to get a hold of our kids' hearts. That it's not just this, it's not just going through the motions, it's developing them to have a real heart for God. You say, Pastor, how are we going to do this? Well, how we're going to do it is over the next several Sundays, we're going to look at three different ways that we're going to get a hold of this next generation's heart.